All right, good morning. We're just sharing some truth from the Word of God this morning, and I trust you're having a good day. It's Halloween, so I hope nobody will be offended if I speak about death a little bit today. You know, the Word of God does have a lot to say about death. Jesus likes to speak about life. The Word of God likes to speak about life, but there's a lot in the Word of God that is about death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says the soul that sinned, it will die. And I know death is a heavy topic for Monday morning, but it's a good topic to consider, because if you look at the bad news, you get to look at the good news as well. And the good news is that God offers life. And the text I'd like to read is found in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." To quicken is to make alive. God desires to bring us to life. What he desires to do is not bring us to physical life. He desires to bring us to spiritual life. And the Bible speaks about us being dead in trespasses and sins. And that's where everybody that is outside of Christ is today. They are in sin and they are in spiritual death. The Bible speaks it out. But in verse 2, it says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And the course of this world is the way most people are walking. Most people, today I saw a statistic this past week that the average person in Britain spends 985 pounds on alcohol every year. The average person in Britain does not go to church. Here in Scotland, I think the statistic in 2016 was that only 7% actually attended church. Something like 450,000 people out of the millions of people that are here in Scotland even attend a church. The vast majority of people do not believe in God. They're atheistic or maybe agnostic, don't believe in the God of the Bible. And the Bible speaks about that being the course of the world is walking in a way that is under the power of the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil in the Word of God. And so Satan has control over people's lives. And it says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." If you think about it today, it's not very hard to prove that from society, that that's exactly the case, that men are living after their lust. They're serving their flesh. They're addicted to alcohol. They're addicted to drugs. They're addicted to pornography. They're addicted to gambling. And they're giving themselves to those pursuits, and it's destroying them. It destroys their relationships. It destroys their health. It wastes their finance. And that's the course of this world that man is on outside of Christ, and it's a path of death. But the Bible goes on to say that they were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. As a child of wrath, that's somebody that's under the wrath of God. The wrath of God is eternal damnation in the lake of fire. That judgment is coming, but they're condemned already in that condition. The Bible says that there's none righteous, no, not one. It says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So very sadly, everybody outside of Christ is in that position of being under the judgment of God. You might say, "Well, Ben, that doesn't really bother me. It doesn't really concern me that much." In fact, today, being Halloween, many people are making fun of death. Many people are making fun of hell. And yet, you know, if somebody were to go down to London and make a mockery of the Grenfell Towers and to laugh at that and to laugh about the people that perished there, we'd look at them and say, "You're a very sad person, a very sick person that can look at this idea of somebody burning in a physical fire and laugh at that and mock that." And that's the same thing today about somebody that can laugh and mock the idea of hell. There are billions of people in hell today paying for their sin because they never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's a very sad individual that would make a mockery of that. But that's what the Bible's speaking about when it says that we are under the wrath of God. And I praise God today that though there's the bad news that we are sinners and that we're on our way to hell and that our hearts are against God, I praise God today that I can say, but God loves us. It's amazing to think that God cares about us, that God desires to give us everlasting life, desires to give us forgiveness, desires to give us a home in heaven, desires to give us of the riches of his grace. But God is good and God is great and God loves us. But our sin is a great affront to a holy God. Again, if you're to examine your heart, and if I was to examine my heart, what we find there is so often we transgress God's law. The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. And so when somebody pushes past what God says is right or God says is wrong, they violate God's law. And in violating God's law, they sin. And in sinning, the path of sin is the path of death. It's the path of destruction. There's a lot of people that are stuck in a lifestyle like that, a lifestyle of sin, a lifestyle that they would look at and say, you know what, Ben, if I were honest about my life, I don't really like it that much, because I look in the mirror and I recognize that there's things in my life that are disgusting, things that I regret, things that bother my conscience, that makes me know that I am dirty inside. And you know what? Praise God, if a person has a tender conscience and can recognize that they're a sinner and understand that they need help, that they need God to intervene. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for our sins. He paid the complete price so that God is able to forgive us because of what Jesus Christ himself did. And so the Bible goes on to say about the mercy of God and the grace of God and what God's able to do. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Grace is a gift. God desires to offer to mankind forgiveness. God wants to give mercy. A lot of times, I think people would say to me, Ben, I could never go to church. If I walked into church, lightning would strike. I mean, the judgment of God would come. And you know, the thing is, that's not true. There is a God in heaven that loves you, a God in heaven that cares for you, that desires you to investigate truth, investigate the Word of God, consider what God says in his Word. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. You know, praise God, there's verses in the Bible like John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God desires to give us life. The Bible goes on to say, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the gift that God desires to give, it is a gift. It is free. It is something that God offers. It's not something that we have to earn. Somebody could think today, well, Ben, I want to earn my salvation, so I'll be religious. I'll do certain good things, and if my good works outweigh my bad works, then God will surely accept that. The problem is this. God says it's not by works. It's not something we could do. It's not being religious. It's not being Christian. It's not being part of a certain church. And I would say this to somebody today, if I were to ask you and say, hey, what is the one thing that you're trusting in when it comes to your eternity? If that person would look at their life and say, Ben, I am trusting in what I've done, my religion, my heritage, the fact that I was born into a Christian family or things like that, I would just lovingly say to that person, look, that can't get you to heaven. The Bible says, by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. It's not something that we could do. It's not something that we could earn. It's something that we have to receive. It's a gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, praise God, today, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, if you wonder today, does God love me? Does God care about me? He absolutely does. God's greatest desire today would be for somebody to pick up a Bible and to begin to read it and to begin to understand that there's a God that knows them, that understands them, that created them, that designed them, that has a love for them, a desire to reach out and to teach them his truth. And God's given us his truth in the Bible. And if you can read, you can pick it up and you can begin to understand who God is. You know, praise God, today we can look up and the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. It is testifying to us today that there's a God in heaven that has given us life and has given us purpose. And in giving us physical life, he also gave us a will that we can exercise against him, or a will that we can exercise for him. and exercising our will against God, we violated God's law. The problem is that the wages of sin is death. And that person that is against God, that person that despises God, that person that has turned their back on God, there's no chance in the world that they'll die and go to heaven. You can't go to heaven on accident. You go to heaven on purpose. You go to heaven by accepting Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your personal Savior. When you look at the cross, you might wonder, why is it that God did this glorious work for me? It's because God loves you. It's because God cares for you. It's because God understands that the punishment for sin is hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. It is a real place. It's not a place that people are to mock and to make fun of. And, you know, here on Halloween, it's just amazing to me as a believer to see how the world is putting up these signs and they're laughing about hell, mocking hell. But hell is a fire. It's eternal. It's separation from God. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of eternal damnation. And God does not want you to go there. That's why the Son of God died. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loved you so much that he died as a thief on a cross. He was crucified. Again, if you were to see that today, nobody would want to look at that cross today. If that cross was down here at McEwen Hall, and there you saw Jesus Christ stripped and mocked and cursed and blasphemed and nailed up to an old wooden cross there suffering for us, his back whipped many times with a cat of nine tails and the flesh ripped off his back, and all because of our sin. Praise God for his love. You know, I wouldn't do that for anybody. There's no way that I would go through that kind of suffering. But it wasn't just physical suffering. It was the suffering of the sin of the world being put upon the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It was the punishment of our sin upon him, God turning his back on his Son. And God did that because he loves you. God did that because he cares for you. God did that because he wants to give you his gift of everlasting life. You know, and I just wonder today, and I know, you know what, you might be wondering, who's listening to this guy? I kind of wonder myself. But as you think about that, you know, just begin to realize today that every single person that's walking past here is a person that God loves. Every single person that is sitting here is somebody that God is reaching out to. And then begin to think about it like this. God loves them. God cares for them. God designed them. God gave them life. God wants to give them everlasting life. And yet there's people that are just going day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, never thinking about God, never beginning to get into his word and begin to look at it and consider who God is. And yet if you pick up this book and you begin to read it in the book of John, the Bible says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. There's plenty of people today, they'd say, Ben, I could never believe in God. It doesn't matter what you say. And I would just say to that person, you absolutely can believe in God. The designer that made you gave you everything necessary to look around and go, there's got to be a God. There's design in this creation. There's no way that this just happened. Let me illustrate it like this. If I had all the components for a supercomputer and I took them and I put it in a room and I took a stick of dynamite, I put it in there and I blew it up, nobody would say, hey, you know, I'm going to put my life savings in investing in your company that's going to make a supercomputer out of those components that are blown up. And yet there's people today basing their eternity on the idea that this all exploded and somehow designed us, somehow gave us life, somehow gave us all the fun and awesome things about life, the fact that it tastes good, the fact that it looks good, the fact that we enjoy it and that we love it, you know, the aesthetics that are here and the way there's balance in the economy and all the systems that are in this world. And there's people today that believe it just happened. And I look at that and I go, that takes a lot of faith. How could you possibly believe that this just happened? You got to look around and say, there's got to be a God. There's got to be a designer. There's got to be somebody that gave us this book. And let me tell you about the Bible. The Bible is 66 books, 40 to 44 human authors, and this book all agrees. It's written over 1,500 years. The printing press was made to print Bibles. This book has outsold every book every year. It's accepted by mankind as the Bible. And it's amazing today. We've got an abundance of information that is available. I mean, we got information at our fingertips. We have access to the Bible like no other generation. But I would say this. I would say most people today walking past here have no concept about God, have no understanding of the Word of God, have never picked up the book for themselves and begun to look in it because they believe the devil's lie that this book is not true. But praise God, it is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. God has given us His precious truth today. You might desire, you might say, Ben, why are you down here? What's it about? And my desire is that there would be people today that would go home and say, you know what? I'm going to pick up a book, the Bible. I'm going to begin to read it. I'm going to begin to look into it. I'm going to see what it is that God says in His Word. And you can start at the beginning. And the Bible begins with, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It begins to speak about God's creation, how God created in 6 days, the seventh day He rested. Guess what? We still have a seven-day week. It's interesting. That was written 3,500 years ago, but we still have a seven-day week and typically have 1 day off a week at least that is a day of rest. God worked for 6 days. The seventh day, He rested. He set a pattern for us. That seventh day is holy. That seventh day is supposed to be a day that is set aside to worship God and to know God and to understand God. Why? Because man that turns his back on God can begin to live as if there is no God, begin to live as if he is God and that he can just do whatever he desires to do. And yet we need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to church. We need to get back to seeking God as a society. Our society, if you think about it, are we better because of humanism? Are we better because of atheism? Are we better because we've turned our back in God? Look at what is taking place in the legislation this past week in the Scottish Parliament. Incredible things that 10 years ago even, people would have thought, what in the world? How in the world can this take place in a modern society? A child could tell you the basic truth about what the Scottish government is debating, what the Church of Scotland recently debated. A child can stand up and say, you know what? I understand 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. It can look at the building block of society, the fact that God created male and female, that God designed a marriage, that God designed that building block is fundamental to society. And yet a society that rejects God turns its back on that. Read it in the Bible. 2,000 years ago, the Word of God said in the book of Romans that a society that turns its back on God